This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On the evening of Saturday, June 11th, the Winona County Historical Society presented Chocolate, Shakespeare, and Champagne. It's Winona's summer premiere event. Among that evening's events, people enjoyed lavish chocolate delicacies, champagne, and the stunning surroundings of the Alexander Mansion. The focal point of the evening was the live entertainment, which included a preview of scenes from the Great River Shakespeare Festival Season 8 plays. Tonight, on a very special edition of The Live Feed, we start off with an interview with actor Michael Fitzpatrick from the Great River Shakespeare Festival, followed by a sneak peek of different scenes from Henry IV, Midsummer's Night Dream, and a musical medley from The Fantastics, as well as audience perceptions of what they experienced that evening and their expectations for Season 8 of the Great River Shakespeare Festival. You're listening to The Live Feed, and I'm Terry Tenseth.
My name is Michael Fitzpatrick. I'm an actor in the company, and I am here tonight to perform something from The Fantastics.
And how long have you been practicing for The Fantastics? Because I know it's the play that's going on later in the season, musical, I should say.
Yeah, we've tried to grab a few hours of rehearsal time in between Henry IV Part 1 and Midsummer Night's Dream. So we've had about 4 rehearsals, I think. And then this particular set that we're doing, we did at some benefit fundraisers in La Crosse and Rochester. So at least these songs, I think, we know pretty well. I hope so.
Why not?
Why not?
People have had champagne.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great audience. And there's so many people here. Last year it rained, and it was a little sparse, and it was a little scary. But this is a beautiful, beautiful night, and it's really exciting.
Well, how long have you been with the company for?
This is my 6th year. I took a year off in between, so 7 years, but this is my actual 6th year.
All right. Now, where are you from?
I'm from originally California, and I live in New York City.
All right. What part of New York City?
I live in Sunnyside, Queens, which is beautiful, which some streets actually sort of look like a neighborhood here. There are trees and happy old people and people with dogs, and it's not like Manhattan at all.
So what attracted you to the Great River Shakespeare Festival in the beginning?
What keeps me here, I guess, just the level of work and actually getting to work with a company of actors over and over, getting to know each other and just getting a common language together. It's incredible. It's unlike anywhere else I work. I don't think I'm alone in the fact that I give up work to come here. It's just a great place to be. And the town is beautiful, and the people are nice. So why wouldn't I come here, you know?
So you're here for 3 months, 4 months?
Just about 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just enough to love it.
Just enough to love it and never see a winter, unfortunately, which I still have never done. So I don't believe you guys have the winters you say you do.
You should have seen it this year. Yeah.
I know, I heard.
Great.
I heard.
So what's your forte in acting? Are you like character actor? Or are you...
That's what I get. Yeah. I'm funny looking. I'm bald. I get character actor. I get senators, policemen, dads sometimes. Shakespearean dads, which I'm very lucky to do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I'm doing Henry as a Shakespearean dad, so it's fun to do.
So which one do you think you like better, doing The Fantastics or Henry? They're totally completely different.
Yeah, they're totally different, and we haven't gotten into Fantastics. We've learned music, and that's all we're doing. So we're putting Fantastics up basically in a week. So talk to me then. I gotta say, Henry IV is one of my new favorite shows. It's absolutely incredible. The relationships, the structure of the play, it's fantastic. And I think I'd seen it once before, and I just love it. It's one of my new favorites.
What do you think is the challenge with performing Shakespeare?
Making it clear, making it understandable, and just telling the story, you know, and which is another thing I think we do here better than anywhere else I've worked, is we tell the story as clearly as we can. And that's all you have to do, you know. The relationships are so amazing. Obviously, the language is amazing because Shakespeare wrote it, but this play especially, I just think, you know, you think of history plays and you think, okay, well, it's going to be history and dry. And it's family conflicts. It's dynastic conflicts. It's power struggles. And it's just fascinating.
That has universal appeal in that way.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Completely.
A lot of Shakespeare's themes have that.
Yep, yeah.
There's power or political.
Well, I think most of Shakespeare's themes have that, and that's why they've endured.
Now, is that a play you would typically see entire families bring with children too, or do you think the themes are...
Oh, I'm a bad one to ask, but yeah, there's nothing overtly, you know, adult about it, but yes. Yeah, and it's about, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm playing Henry, it's about this father's struggle with his son, not to mention the struggle to maintain power in England, you know, but yeah, there's absolutely family dynamics and things like that. So yeah, I think I would say it's for the whole family, yes. Now I'll get in trouble.
Out of everything you do here, out of everything in Winona, what's your favorite thing about this area?
That's hard.
I know. I'm going to make you. Okay, I'll give you three.
Okay.
And Blados is already counted. So
well, that's one. Okay, that's one. Lakeview Drive-In.
Right.
I mean, the lake, the river, everything around here. And, you know, I love the architecture. I have friends in town who live in beautiful houses, and they are, I mean, the people that are here, you know, with the Historical Society, I love all that about this town. And at least the people that I know seem to really care about that as much as I do. So I find that really interesting. And that people are so passionate about this town's past and things like that. That's one of my favorite things.
People are totally into that.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Up next, we hear from members of the Great River Shakespeare Festival Company, including director Paul Barnes, as he introduces the different acts and gives us the stories behind them. You'll be listening to different parts of Henry IV, Part 1, Midsummer's Night Dream, and some musical selections from The Fantastics. You're listening to The Live Feed.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Metzler. I'm president of the Winona County Historical Society, and on behalf of the society, welcome. Now, if you would please join me in welcoming the producing director for the Great River Shakespeare Festival, Paul Barnes.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for being here tonight to support the Great River Shakespeare Festival, but more than that, to support the Winona County Historical Society. The completion of the addition to the Winona History Center was a remarkable accomplishment, a remarkable achievement. I got to go to the public dedication last summer, but I didn't really have a chance to tour the addition until the fall. And it is a magnificent addition to life here in Winona. So I would like, on behalf of the Great River Shakespeare Festival, to offer our thanks and congratulations to everyone who made the addition to the Winona History Center possible. It is a beautiful building. So thank you and congratulations. It is always a pleasure and a little bit nerve-wracking to be here this evening because this is, in a sense, our coming out party for each new season. We actually get out of the rehearsal halls, the shops, all the places that we inhabit during the rehearsal build period of the coming season and get out in public. We get to dress up a little bit. I begin to see people in a completely different light. They're no longer covered with sawdust or wielding some sort of welding torch or laboring over a sewing machine in the costume shop over at the WKM building. So for us, it's a great affirmation that yes, we are here and we do other things besides go to work every day on the plays we're about to present. And it is always kind of a thrill, if a little bit of a scary thrill, to suddenly see the work in front of us. Not only the scenes that we're going to present in just a minute, but a lot of the clothes that are going to be in the performances, in the productions that we're producing this year. We get to see them for the first time tonight. So you are getting a sneak preview of what's about to open on June 24th and 25th. Last year, we took some big risks. We extended the runtime of the festival by 1 week, and we added a third production that was not a play by Shakespeare to the repertoire. It seemed to work. That increase of one additional production plus 1 week of the run increased attendance an unheard of 50%. You just don't hear about that happening. Yes, we're very happy about that. So we decided that that would be a good thing to do again this year, to keep that trend going. So, without further ado, and there will be lots of announcements in between the scenes as we go along, I would like to start us off tonight with a couple of scenes from King Henry IV, Part 1. This is one of the two Shakespeare plays we're doing. We're returning to what's known in the world of Shakespeare as the history plays, and this is actually the second part of a four-part series of plays that begins with Shakespeare's Richard II, continues to Henry IV, Part 1, on into Henry IV, Part 2, and then to Henry V. But we thought we'd just jump right in with Henry IV, Part 1, because we think it's a great play, and it is the play that introduces you to the wonderful character, the indelible and memorable Sir John Falstaff, who you will meet in a minute. Okay, our scene from Henry IV, Part 1, takes place in a very different setting. It's the Boar's Head Tavern. And this is where the young Prince Hal, who is played by Christopher Sheard, who is probably in the tiring house over there. Here he comes. Chris Sheard was an apprentice actor with us last year, and he's back this year as an acting intern. And he is playing Prince Hal, who is the heir to the English throne, the eldest son of King Henry IV. At this point in his life, he is not so much interested in being a good prince as he is interested in hanging out with his friends at the Boar's Head Tavern, who are dressed very, very well tonight, I must say. So, on stage, next to Chris Sheard, we have Ryan Fonville, who is back for his second season with the Great River Shakespeare Festival, and he is playing Ned Poins, who is Hal's pal and partner in the petty crimes, the petty robberies that they like to commit with their great friend, Sir John Falstaff, who is played by our veteran actor in the company, Jonathan Gillard Daly. Now, those of you who know John Daly know that he is a very slender, fit man, but the role of Falstaff requires that you bulk up a little bit. So it is our genius costumers, Meg Whedon's design and all the people in the shop, who have helped him bulk up. It's a feat of engineering, if I do say so. Now, all of these people across the front of the stage, Evan Fuller, Greg Beam, Kim McKean, Chris Mixon, Ricardo Birnbaum, Tara Flanagan, and Brian White, are all denizens of the Boar's Head Tavern, and they're here to lend their support to the scene. What has happened at this point in the play is that Ned Poins has plotted to play a trick on Sir John Falstaff. There's nothing they like better than hearing him invent stories and tell lies. So with several of the people here, they concoct a robbery at Gad's Hill, a very dangerous part of England. And Ned Poins and Hal, the prince, sneak away while the others, including Falstaff, are robbing a group of very wealthy travelers. They successfully rob the travelers, make off with the money, and then Ned Poins and Hal surprise Falstaff and his companions, Bardolph, Gadshill, and Peto over here, and scare them, and they get the money and make it back to the Boar's Head Tavern with the loot because they can't wait to find out what Falstaff is going to have to say about what happened from his point of view. So, we're at the Boar's Head Tavern, and I think that's all you need to know for the moment.
Welcome, Jack. Where hast thou been?
A plague of all cowards, I say. And a vengeance, too.
Merry and amen.
Give me a cup of sack, boy. A plague of all cowards. Give me a cup of sack, rogue. Is there no virtue extant?
Didst thou never see Titan kiss a dish of butter that melted at the sweet tail of the suns? If thou didst, then behold that compound.
You rogue! Here's lime in this sack, too! There is nothing but roguery to be found in villainous man. Yet a coward is worse than a cup of sack with lime in it. Oh, villainous coward. Go thy ways, old Jack. Die when thou wilt. If manhood, good manhood, be not forgot upon the face of the earth, then am I a shot and herring. There lives not three good men unhanged in England. And one of them is fat and grows old. God help the wild. Bad world, I say. I would I were a weaver. I could sing psalms or anything. A plague of all cowards, I say still.
How now, Woolsack? What mutter you?
A king's son. If I do not beat thee out of thy kingdom with a dagger of lath and drive all thy subjects afore thee like a flock of wild geese, I'll never wear a hair on my face more. You, Prince of Wales.
Ooh. Why, you, horse and round man. What's the matter?
Are not you a coward? Answer me to that, and Poins there.
Soon's ye fat paunch, and ye call me coward, by the Lord I'll stab thee. Ooh,
I call thee coward?
I'll see thee damned or I call thee coward.
But I would give £1,000 I could run as fast as thou canst. Yes. You are straight enough in the back. You care not who sees your back. A plague on such backing, I say. Give me men that will face me. Give me a cup of sack. I am a rogue if I drunk today.
Oh, villain, thy lips are scarce white since thou drunk is last.
Well, all's one for that. A plague of all cowards, I say still.
What's the matter?
What's the matter? There be four of us have ta'en £1,000 this day morning.
Where is it, Jack? Where is it?
Where is it? Taken from us it is. 100 upon poor four of us.
What, 100, man?
I am a rogue if I were not at half sword with a dozen of them 2 hours together. I have escaped by miracle.
Thanks, Jack. You got through it.
Yeah. We got through it.
Okay. We're going to move on now to A Midsummer Night's Dream. This is the first play by Shakespeare that we've actually repeated since we started the company in 2004. Those of you who are with us then will remember that we did Midsummer Night's Dream that very first season, and we're getting back to it now in a brand new, completely reimagined and re-realized production under the direction of Alec Wilde, who is a founding member of the Great River Shakespeare Festival, and who has been with us ever since the beginning. This is going to be an athletic, acrobatic Midsummer Night's Dream. And here's Alec to tell us a little bit more about it and to introduce the scene you're about to see. So Alec Wilde, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to see you all here. And again, thanks to the Historical Society and Fred and Lynn for having us here. We're so happy to be guests at this wonderful event every year. And it's so great to see so many volunteers. So this is Midsummer Night's Dream. And I think it's going to be a very exciting production. And if we could have the actors out. Andrew Carlson, who you've already met as Hotspur. This is Kim McKean and Evan Fuller and Stephanie Lamborn. In this scene we're about to show you, Lysander, you see, and Hermia are in love at the beginning of the play. Helena is in love with Demetrius. Demetrius, unfortunately, is in love with Hermia. So Lysander and Hermia decide to run away to the forest together to go and get married. Helena, hoping that she can convince Demetrius to love her, tells Demetrius about their running away. Demetrius follows them, and Helena follows Demetrius. Once they get to the forest, they begin to be meddled with the king of the fairies, named Oberon. And in this scene, Oberon has put some love juice in both Lysander's eyes and Demetrius's eyes. The love juice makes you fall in love with the first person you see when you wake up. So at this point, Lysander has awakened, and the first person he saw was Helena. So Lysander now loves Helena. Demetrius is still asleep, and you're about to see what happens when he wakes up.
Why should you think that I should woo in scorn? Scorn and derision never comes in tears. Look, when I vow, I weep. And vows so born in their nativity, all truth appears. How can these things in me seem scorn to you? Bearing the badge of faith to prove them true.
You do advance your cunning more and more when truth kills truth. Oh, devilish holy Frey, these vows are Hermia's. Will you give her o'er? Weigh oath with oath, and you will nothing weigh. Your vows to her and me, put in two scales, will even weigh, and both as light as tails.
I had no judgment when to her I swore.
Nor none in my mind, now you give her o'er.
Demetrius loves her, and he loves not you.
Oh, Helen. Goddess, nymph, perfect, divine. To what, my love, shall I compare thine eyne? Crystal is muddy. Oh, how ripe and show thy lips, those kissing cherries, tempting grow. That pure congealed white, high Taurus snow, fanned with the eastern wind, turns to a crow when thou hold'st up thy hand. Oh, let me kiss this princess of pure white, this seal of bliss.
Spite! Oh, hell! I see you are all bent to set against me for your merriment. If you were civil and knew courtesy, you would not do me thus much injury. Can you not hate me as I know you do? No. But you must join in souls to mock me, too.
You are unkind, Demetrius. Be not so, for you love Hermia. This you know, I know, and here, with all goodwill, with all my heart, in Hermia's love, I yield you up my part. and yours of Helena to me bequeath, whom I do love and will do to my death.
Never
Lysander,
did mockers waste more idle breath.
Keep thy Hermia. I will none. If e'er I loved her, all that love is gone. My heart to her, but as guestwise sojourned. And now to Helen, it is home returned, there to remain.
Helen, it is not so.
Disparage not the faith thou dost not know, lest to thy peril thou abide dear. Look where thy love comes, yonder is thy dear.
Dark knight that from the eye his function takes, the ear more quick of apprehension makes, wherein it doth impair the seeing sense, it pays the hearing double recompense. Thou art not by mine eye, Lysander, found. Mine ear, I thank it, brought me to that sound. But why unkindly didst thou leave me so?
Why should he stay whom love doth press to go?
What love could press Lysander from my side?
Lysander's love that would not let him by.
Fair
Helena.
So that is a taste of A Midsummer Night's Dream. We're going to move on now to the Fantastics. And if I could have the cast out for the Fantastics, I think they're back there. And this is a first for us. This is the first time we've done excerpts from three shows in which one actor in the company appeared in all three of the scenes. So Evan Fuller is back. And I should also mention another first tonight. This is the first Chocolate, Shakespeare, and Champagne in which Christopher Gerson has not appeared in any scene tonight. But for those of you who came expecting to see Christopher, you'll get to see him in A Midsummer Night's Dream as Robin Starveling the Tailor. You'll get to see him as the Earl of Worcester in Henry IV Part 1. And you will get to see him in The Fantastics playing Mortimer, the companion to Henry, the old actor who's played by Jonathan Gillard Daly. We have a wonderful cast for The Fantastics, and we have a wonderful director who will be with us soon. The cast has been learning all of the music for the show under the direction of Jack Forbes Wilson here at the keyboard. You'll remember Jack from last season. Jack is from Milwaukee. He was with us last season in The Comedy of Errors. He did all the music arrangements for us, and he played the piano for the show. He was Harry, the piano player for The Comedy of Errors, but he was also one of the three actors in The Daily News, which was our first venture into the world of musical theater at the Great River Shakespeare Festival. Jack is back with us this season. He's composing Henry IV Part 1, and he is the musical director for The Fantastics. So we have here Evan Fuller, who plays Matt, the boy. We have Chris Mixon, who plays his father. We have Doug Schultz Carlson, who plays El Gallo, the narrator of The Fantastics. We have Stephanie Lamborn, once again, who plays Louisa, the girl in The Fantastics. And her father is played by Michael Fitzpatrick. So, and they have a medley of songs from The Fantastics.
September, when life was slow and oh so mellow. Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow. Try to remember the kind of September when you were a tender and callow fellow. Try to remember, and if you remember, then follow.
Follow, 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 follow. Oh, 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 I hug myself until my arms turn blue, and then I close my eyes and cry until the tears come down and I can taste them. I love to taste my tears. I am special. I am special. Please, God, please, don't let me be normal. I'd like to swim in a clear blue stream where the water is icy cold, then go to town in a golden gown and my fortune told. Just once, just once, just once before I'm old. I'd like to be not evil, but a little worldly wise. To be the kind of girl designed to be kissed upon the eyes. To do the things I've dreamed about but never done before. Perhaps I'm bad or wild or mad, with lots of grief in store. But I want much more than keeping house. Much more, much more.
Thanks to all the members of the Great River Shakespeare Festival. Let's hear it one more time for them.
Following the performances, I stuck around a bit to get some audience perceptions of what they saw that evening and what they anticipated for the Great River Shakespeare Festival Season 8. Up first, we hear from Nancy Edstrom Bachler.
Can you give me a quote real quick of what you think from tonight you saw, what you think the season's going to be like?
Fabulous. I mean, is there any other assessment a person could make? No, everything was so exciting and already so tight. I mean, tight, you know, I think that's a term they use that means really well prepared, really professional, really incredible, as they always are. It's always good. But it's fun to see that this early in the season, in circumstances that aren't, you know, totally theater friendly, that they just did so beautifully. It was just wonderful, and lots of diversity, and of course the acting is always great. Lots of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Is there one you're looking forward to more in particular than the other?
Do you know what was fun about tonight? Is the ones I maybe, like, probably the one I was looking least forward to was Henry IV, and now I'm all excited to see it, because that probably had more comedy than any of them. You know, tonight, it was all good, and it's fun that they highlighted so many different actors and their talents, and the singing, of course, was just fabulous. Oh, I keep using that word. Terrific. Very, very impressive. And I think probably everybody seeing it said, oh, I got to see more than I was planning on seeing. You know, it's fun to look at them and say, well, I can't possibly miss one of those. And then, of course, a lot of us end up seeing them 2-3 times, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm Ron Stevens.
Ron, what did you think of tonight's preview, and are you excited for the upcoming Shakespeare season?
Of course, and I always am, and tonight was as usual and a little bit more.
Which one are you looking forward to seeing the most?
Well, I've never seen Fantastic, so that'll be new. I've read the other plays, so I'm looking forward to see what the company does with them. I guess I'd say the Henry IV is probably what I'm most looking forward to.
And then have you seen the Midsummers before when it was here?
I have, yeah.
So you're kind of excited to see what they do differently?
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it this time around, because it's always an innovative approach to every performance.
Exactly. What was better, the chocolate or the champagne?
The champagne.
What thrills you the most about going to the theater? Is it escapism, if even that's a word? Is it the costumes, just looking at those?
Well, I guess I'd have to say it's all of those. Yeah. It's seeing familiar members of the company and new roles. It's seeing the costumes. It's seeing the direction. It's seeing what they do with this material.
You've got a background in sociology, right?
I do.
What does sociology say about experiences like theater?
Well, there's a lot of sociology revealed in Shakespeare. You know, if you think about it from terms of human interaction and the roles people play, after all, we all are performing roles. We are right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't there holding the microphone, you would be doing something else,
yes.
And you'd behave differently. If you were, you know, with your partner somewhere, you would not be engaged in this kind of formality. And so we all wear lots of different hats, and every day is a performance. And there are lots of truths revealed in Shakespeare that haven't really changed all that much.
A
A big thank you to the members of the Great River Shakespeare Festival for sharing with us some previews from Season 8. Another thank you to the Winona County Historical Society for presenting Chocolate Shakespeare and Champagne, and to all the sponsors of the evening's events. You've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.